You're listening to the Contagious Confidence Podcast, and I'm your host, Katie Hawks. I'm passionate about helping you unleash confidence in every area of your life. Confidence is a journey, and I'm here to remind you that you're not alone. Every other Tuesday, I'm bringing you conversations that will inspire, encourage, and challenge you. Are you ready? I love hearing people's birth stories, so if you're curious about mine, you can continue listening. And at the end of this episode, I'll share some tips to help you prepare for your own birth. As I'm recording this, I'm about 6 months postpartum, so this will be very therapeutic for me. I found out I was 5 weeks pregnant on February 15th, 2023, which put my due date at October 16th, 2023. October has always been my favorite month. My birthday is in October. It's October 24th. I met my husband in October. We had our first date in October, and we got married on October 13th, 2018. So you could say that October is a super special month for me. So I was thrilled that my first child was going to have an October birthday. This was not intentional in any way. But another special thing about that year is that this particular October, it would have been 11 years since my husband and I met. And 11 is my favorite number, by the way. When I found out that what my due date was, I was like, oh Lord. I was asked to be the matron of honor in my cousin Taylor's wedding on October 1st. And on October 1st, I was going to be 38 weeks pregnant. I remember hoping and praying that if I could just make it to October 2nd, still pregnant, that would be perfect. Thankfully, I was able to stand by my sweet cousin's side as she married the love of her life, but I did have a couple of bridesmaids have to help me put my heels on because I couldn't bend over and my heels almost did not fit because my ankles were so swollen. But thankfully, that last hole was able to fit them on the strap. After October 2nd, I was like, okay, this baby can come anytime now. I do want to mention that my husband Gil and I chose not to find out what we were having. We both wanted to wait to find out when they were born. We had names picked out for a boy and a girl, but we both didn't feel strongly about one gender or another. Side note, as soon as I saw that pregnancy test, I had a deep feeling that I was having a girl. My husband and I took some birth classes at the hospital where we were delivering at, and I was so thankful for those. They explain everything that could possibly happen. Well, not really, but that's besides the point. And they give you a lot of tools that you'll need to handle any situation that might arise. If you're pregnant or plan to be pregnant in the future, I encourage you to take classes if you can find them. In one of the classes, the instructor talked about the different types of pain management options that you could have and what it means to be induced and the importance of putting together a birth plan. Gil and I put together a birth plan when I was about 36 weeks pregnant, which at that point they tell you that once you get to 36 weeks, you can give birth anytime. So we wanted to be prepared. We talked about it, and I really wanted to go as natural as I possibly could. I had listened to a few podcasts and had done some research, and I felt that the best option for me was to go about things as naturally as I could. And let me tell you, my birth story was almost exactly the opposite of what I had written in my birth plan. I say this not to scare you, but I just want to encourage you that when it comes to your birth plan, it's a good idea to be flexible and think about every possible option. If you go into it trying to control everything, it's really going to affect your experience. I had most of my prenatal appointments on Fridays, so the Friday before my cousin's wedding on October 1st, I went to my gyno and she checked me, and she told me I was about a half a centimeter dilated. She asked me if I wanted my membrane scraped, and I said no. But also, I was like, what is scraping membranes? I later found out that I have a friend that chose to do that, and she went into labor less than 24 hours later. And I had to make it through a wedding that weekend. So I was like, please, no, don't scrape my membranes. So since I decided not to have my membrane scraped, they wanted me to go ahead and schedule my induction for 41 weeks if I had not given birth by my due date. That's the longest they would let me go. My induction just so happened to fall on the eve of my 33rd birthday. I remember calling my mom immediately after my appointment. And I did that every single time I left an appointment. It was just kind of a ritual that I fell into, just updating her on what was going on. And when I told her that I had to schedule my induction for October 23rd, she said she was 99% sure that she had scheduled her induction with me on October 23rd, almost 33 years prior. I immediately thought that I could have a birthday twin and this child was going to be a mini-me. My final prenatal appointment fell on my 5th wedding anniversary with Gil, and I was 39 weeks pregnant. But I was still only a half a centimeter dilated, and it had been about 3 weeks since they had told me I was half a centimeter dilated. Because of this, they wanted to schedule me for a stress test and an ultrasound just to make sure that the baby was okay. I think that we went and had both of those appointments done on a Tuesday, which I think would have been October 17th. And after those appointments, we got the good news that baby was looking good and that I had enough fluid to support. So we were okay to wait until my induction date. The stress test is not what you think. They basically just strap 2 bands around your belly, one to monitor the baby's heart rate and the other to track any contractions or movement. Then they handed me a button to push anytime I felt movement. I did this for about 20 minutes or so, and that was it. I also don't want to forget to mention that in July, a few months before I gave birth, my last living grandmother passed away. It was sudden and heartbreaking, and I was still grieving many months after she had passed. And the thing about my grandmother is that she loved cardinals. She had so many cardinal things in her house, so even before she passed, every time I would see a cardinal, I would think of her. And at this stress test, in that stress test room, the lady had 2 little cardinals sitting on her shelf, and I took that as a sign that my grandmother was there with me. After the stress test and the ultrasound, I was like, okay, I'm ready to have this baby. Let's do it. So I curb stomped, I ate dates, drank raspberry leaf tea. And I did that the whole couple weeks leading up to my induction date. I curb stomped and ate dates and drank raspberry leaf tea like crazy that week leading up to my induction. I will say that I probably should have started that a few weeks earlier, but I'm going to be honest, I really enjoyed being pregnant those last few weeks. So I was not in a hurry to get that baby out, other than the fact that I wanted to meet them. I took the day off of work on my induction day and ran some last minute errands that I wanted to get done before I was officially a mom. I also wanted to enjoy my last day to myself for a very long time. As good as I felt, I couldn't believe that I was going to be induced that evening. My parents came into town to stay at our house and take care of our dog, Hank. So as soon as they arrived, we had a couple hours before we had to leave for the hospital. So they ended up following us to the hospital so that they would know where they needed to go. And they walked into the hospital doors with me. And with tears in my eyes, I hugged my parents because the next time I would see them, I was going to be a mom. We got all checked in, and as we were walking into the labor and delivery room, I remember thinking, I hope it has a window. We both got to the final room where we were going to be staying, and the room number was 1144. If you remember me saying that my favorite number was 11, and Gil and I had been together 11 years when I was supposed to have our baby, that was super special when I saw that 11 on that door. And then 44 is also a very special number for me too. So the fact that our room number was 1144, I also took that as a sign that everything was happening as it was supposed to be, and it was going to be a special moment. And it didn't stop there. Our nurse came in and introduced herself, and her name was Katie. So I was feeling good about everything, and I was looking around the room, and that's when I spotted a cardinal on the wall, another sign that my grandmother was there with me. I got dressed in my hospital gown, and a male doctor that I had never met before came in to check to see if I was dilated. And guess what? I was only 1 centimeter dilated. At that point, he inserted what is called a Foley bulb to help me dilate more. And after an hour or so, I started having some mild contractions. I have endometriosis, and the contractions felt about the same pain level as my cramps that I felt when I was on my period. So I thought I could handle this level of pain for sure. Then my contractions started coming every 5 minutes or so, and then they started me on a low dose of Pitocin. Pitocin helps you go into labor. That's what they tell you in the classes. But in my birth plan, I said I didn't want any Pitocin. But at that point, I had to be induced, and I needed that Pitocin. So I had to be okay with going that route. Gil and I walked the halls, and he went and got us Chick-fil-A for dinner, and we both went to sleep that night. Katie came in and checked me about every few hours to make sure I was doing okay until the shift changed and another nurse came and took over. The nurses came in and checked me through the night and took my blood pressure to make sure I was doing okay. And I remember one of the nurses saying that she had been watching the monitor and she was for sure that I was having a girl just based on the heart rate. The next morning, they checked me, and I was 6 centimeters dilated. Woohoo! The baby could come anytime now, and we were going to have the same birthday. I was convinced. They took the Foley bulb out, and at that point, they started upping my Pitocin, and I tried to get some more sleep and labored for a few more hours. They checked me again, and I was still at 6 centimeters. I was progressing really slowly, but I was okay. At this point, my water had not broken, and they told me that once my water broke, the contractions would intensify and I would dilate faster. I asked if we could wait a little while longer because I really wanted to go naturally into labor. So I bounced on a labor ball for about an hour, and they checked me again, and I was only 7 centimeters dilated. At this point, they recommended bringing in the doctor to talk about breaking my water manually. I called my wellness coach, Britta, who had been my support throughout my whole time being pregnant, and I talked to her about it. At this point, I started to think about everything that was going on, and I really came to the conclusion that my body needed help to give birth. Because up until this point, it was not where it needed to go, or it was not getting where it needed to go naturally. Britta listened to me and told me that it was ultimately up to me and to do what I felt was right. And that's when I realized my gut was telling me that I needed to manually have my water broken. So I did want to talk to the doctor first before they broke my water to talk about the risks, but she came in and checked me, and I was still at 7 centimeters. So she asked for the hook to break my water. And yes, it's a hook. Don't be scared. I was like so over it. I didn't even really feel anything. So when she said that, Gil panicked. He was like, we did not think that was going to happen immediately when she came in. But I decided that I needed to get things moving. So we needed to go ahead and break it. Another thing in my birth plan that did not go how I wanted it to go. Once they broke my water, there was a lot of meconium, and that's what baby fecal matter is called, and it's pretty common when you're that far along. Because of this, they told me that they would have a few more people when I was pushing to give birth, and it was just to make sure that the baby was okay. As soon as they broke my water, the contractions got really bad really quick. I am someone that thinks that they have a pretty high pain tolerance, but damn, these contractions were excruciating. I was having majorly painful back contractions, and I could not get comfortable. I sat on a labor ball at the edge of the side of the hospital bed and breathed and moaned through each contraction as best I could. At one point, Gil had to sit behind me and hold a warm compress on my back each time a contraction came on. I even started pulling on the sheets on the bed to help work through the pain. And it was so bad, y'all. I did that for about 2 hours, and they came back in to check me, and I was still only at 7 centimeters. Like, what the heck? At this point, they said they could up my Pitocin and monitor the contractions with some device that they would put up in there, and let me go a few more hours. I initially, in my birth plan, did not want to get an epidural, but when I checked in, they told me that if I wanted one, that when I ordered it, it would take about an hour to get everything together. So at this point, the pain was so intense that I knew I would not have enough energy left to push that baby out of me. So when the time came, I requested the epidural, and I am so glad I did. At first, I was really nervous to get it because I didn't want to not be able to feel my legs. That kind of freaked me out. But I am so thankful for the nurse that was there with me that entire time. It wasn't Katie, but it was another nurse. I think Isabella was her name. And I needed her calm and comforting nature to get me through that whole experience. As soon as the epidural started to take effect, I felt pretty instant relief. It wasn't like I had imagined it to be. I could still feel my legs, but I couldn't really move them myself. I could feel pressure when someone touched them, but that was about it. One thing that I did not expect was being super cold and shaky when I got the epidural. I was absolutely freezing and my teeth were chattering. Apparently, this has something to do with hormones. I tried to think warm thoughts and get my brain to stop telling me that I was cold, and it eventually worked, and I was so relieved. And at that point, I was able to get a few hours of sleep before they came and checked me again. So around 9 p.m. that night, they came in and checked me, and I was at 9 centimeters, almost 10. 10 is what you got to get to when you're going to have a baby. So I was very excited at that point. So they put me in what they call the throne position, where they adjust the bed to where you're sitting like you're on a throne. I slept like that for about an hour when they came to check me again. And when they checked me, I was at 10 centimeters. They told me that I needed to start pushing and that they were going to go ahead and get the doctor on standby. And as soon as the nurses left, I felt instantly nauseous. Mind you, that all I had to eat that day was a couple of lemon Italian ices, Jell-O, and some cold bone broth. I had enough time to call the nurse to tell them that I was feeling sick before I got sick. And after I called them, the nurse came in and told me that I was feeling sick because the baby had dropped and it was time. So at around 10:30 p.m. that night, I started pushing, and I pushed for 4 hours, and I was pushing about every minute to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. Y'all, I was exhausted. It was like doing rows for 4 hours straight. I could feel my contractions coming on, and they were nowhere near as painful as they were before I got the epidural, but I did start feeling a lot of pressure and would tell the nurses when I thought I needed to start pushing. After I tried a few different positions for about 2 hours, the doctor came in with the rest of the team. I knew Gil was an amazing partner, but he really exceeded my expectations throughout this whole pushing process. He stood by my side and would hold my legs and hand throughout every contraction, and he would repeat my birthing affirmations to me, which was on a card that I had gotten from my chiropractor when I told them that I was pregnant and I brought it with me to the hospital. He would read them to me and I would repeat them, and he encouraged me the whole time. I remember there was a nurse on the respiratory team that was in the room that would encourage me as I was pushing, and every time Gil did something, she would have the sweetest and most impressed reaction. You could tell that she was like, damn, where can I get a man like that? I am so thankful that I have the husband that I have and that he was with me throughout the entire process. He was my rock and my encouragement, and I could not have done it without him. I really couldn't do anything without him. One of the things on my birth plan that I wanted and actually did go to plan was when our baby was born, I wanted Gil to tell me what they were instead of the doctor. And thankfully that did go to plan. As soon as the baby was born, Gil, with tears in his eyes and so much relief and excitement in his voice, he said, "It's here. It's here. It's a girl." Sorry, I just got full body chills and really emotional, because every time I think of that, it brings me back to that time. And it's just so special, like, hearing that your baby's here and it's a girl. It's the best feeling in the world. I let out a sigh of relief because our sweet Layla Rose was here and they placed her on my chest. Gil and I had decided when we started talking about having children that if we had a girl, we would name her Layla Rose after both of my grandmothers. My dad's mom's name was Eulayla, and she passed away a few months before Gil and I met in 2012. My grandmother that I mentioned earlier, who passed away in July of last year when I'm recording this, her name was Rose. Gil and I both go by our nicknames, so we wanted to make sure that whatever we named our children, they would go by. That's why we went with Layla, because it's easy to say and spell. And it was different, but apparently it was like in the top 20 names of 2023. So maybe we're trendsetters. I don't know. I think I was in so much shock and pain, and I was so absolutely exhausted that I didn't realize that she wasn't on my chest anymore. They had taken her away and put her on the warmer. Because I had so much meconium when my water broke, Layla had swallowed a lot of it, and then she was having a hard time breathing. The nurses worked with her to try to get the meconium out of her lungs, and I eagerly watched from the bed, trying to catch glimpses across the room and constantly asking Gil if she was okay. I winced in pain as the doctor sewed up my tear and the nurses pushed on my stomach. After a little while, Layla was placed on my chest, so they could see if being skin to skin with me would help get the meconium out of her lungs. But the nurses grew more and more concerned when they said she started doing what they call singing the song, or wheezing and gasping for breath. It was at that time that they called the NICU, and they recommended that she be taken to the NICU so they could work with her and get the meconium out of her lungs so she could start breathing on her own. They told us that it could be anywhere from an hour or two up to a day or two in the NICU to get her where she needed to be. And at that point, Gil and I both agreed that we needed to do whatever was best for Layla. It was shocking because after all that I went through to get her here, I hadn't really gotten to see her after she was born. And that was devastating. After Layla was taken to the NICU, they continued to work on me and let me sleep for about 20 minutes. My body was a shell of itself. I had just gone through one of the hardest and most traumatic things in my life, but I did it. I worked so incredibly hard to get my baby here. After about an hour, Gil got us all packed up and we started to make our way to the mother baby floor, but without our little girl, so we thought. As they were wheeling me out of the room, they brought Layla and said that she was doing great and she could come to the room with us. They placed her on my chest and I held her as we were taken to our new room. And that, my friends, is my birth story. If you made it this far, thanks for sticking around. And one thing about birth stories is that everyone's experience is different. Many of you listening to mine may have had a totally different experience, or will have a totally different experience, or you may know someone that has had an even more dramatic delivery. I am learning more and more each day, but I do like to share some tips based on my experience. So when it comes to birth plans, I would say have a plan, but be flexible. Do your research, listen to yourself, trust yourself and your baby, and be present. Giving birth is one of the hardest things, if not the hardest thing, that you'll ever do in your life. Whether it's physically, mentally, or emotionally, women are such badasses, and I'm so honored that I get to join the Badass Moms Club. No matter how you become a mom, it's a wild ride, and you are made for this. If being a mom is not your path, I am sure that you are nurturing and loving to your friends' kids. We need the finance too. I will share more about this journey and how it's affecting my confidence. I am definitely in it right now, and I would be so glad if you want to be along for the ride. So until next time, my friends, thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next one.